Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Empowerment Network. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's the African American Community Saturday Empowerment Show. I am your host, Marvin Rose, my co-host, Stan Macklin, standing by. Today, we're going to talk about America on trial, the tearing down of a system, the system of oppression, police brutality, and white supremacy, disbanding or defunding the police and the Confederate flag. We got a lot going on in this country. And on top of that, we are surviving a pandemic. And so we're coming to you live here from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm calling in my co-host, Stan Macklin. Are you there, Stan?
Standing in the gap.
All right.
Standing
how are
in the
you
gap for God's appointed place.
Good, good. So we got a lot going on, right? We still have the coronavirus. Numbers are going up in certain areas. Also, we have America that is on trial. We're tearing down statues and monuments all over the country. We have opposition to the police brutality that seems to be stirring up around the world now. I just saw a video from Australia where they're protesting. So this thing is picking up momentum in terms of dealing with oppression, police brutality, and white supremacy. Also, there was an issue came up this week about the Confederate flag, but also the American flag. As Drew Brees talked about his position on the flag. What do you think about some of these things, Sam?
Well, it's been a lot, and it's, you know, it's like gasoline is being thrown on the issue all over the globe. And it's amazing because with the pandemic, it has, there's an upsurge in that again due to the place, because a lot of people are upset with how they witnessed 8 minutes and 46 seconds of a live killing. But this is something that's been done in the spirit of vigilantism for centuries. And not only that, but it's bringing out people's understanding of what is a patriot and human rights and a lot of things. And so I think finally people are realizing that the foundation of this country, it is cracked. It is cracked wide open, and there no longer can we step aside and not pay attention to the issue of race. And people are addressing it and finding forms to do it. And it's really causing chasms and people to line up as to their perspectives, and they're coming out. And, of course, our current president doesn't help out either. So we're just in a new time that it's a new day.
Okay. So let's talk about patriotism for a minute. And we know this country is built on the flag and patriotism and how that flag means so much. And so the Confederate flag represents a lot. You know, NASCAR has come out saying that they're banning all Confederate flags at all NASCAR events. And there's some uproar about that. Now, what the Confederate States of America and what that Confederate flag means symbolically, along with the statues and tearing down that old constitution or that old construct of Southern supremacy. And so we have a dichotomy between What I see is a infight between whites and the South lost, right? And so what you really look at is the South would, in so many words, be considered terrorists. They're traitors, right? And so why are we historically having representations, and most of those statues and everything came after the Civil War? Why are we celebrating and even naming bases, for example, in other locations around the country and roads after these people who defected from the United States? What do you think?
Well, my brother, I know one reason is this used to be the norm of the country. I mean, Jim Crow, segregation, that was it. That was it. I mean, I was born up north, but, you know, I came in on the tail end of segregation, and that was just the way it was until the Civil Rights Bill was enacted. And there's some people that are just firmly dedicated to the fact that white is right, and white power is the reality of how this country was organized. We call it just America's original sin, and that's just it. This sin was designed. This country was designed for that. And but at the same time, people are rising up, and they're declaring that there has to be change.
That's true. That's true. Well, the board is lit up again today, so let's go to the phone lines and see what the word is out there. I'm going to 4692. 4692 opening up the callers, and let's see if we can get one in. Caller, you there? Number ending in 4692. Come back to that.
92.
Yep. Okay. Let's see if we can get somebody else in. Okay. Well, we'll just keep going until we can get this board clear. So, and talking about the issues that we've had from slavery to Reconstruction to segregation and Jim Crow and all these things came about through customs. And you know, customs are important because it's the way that people do things. These customs became a culture that then became the law. And so people taking the law into their own hands by having community lynching, that was a custom that became a part of the culture that became the
law.
That's
right. Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so,
yes, it was.
It's really interesting that, and even in looking at white supremacy and the privilege that they still gave the South to control and regulate and abuse African Americans or people of color, it is really, really having to have us to examine those customs and that culture that is pervasive even in the law now, and how the police, even at the role of slave traders, transitioned into the police, which is now designed to protect and serve. Are they protecting and serving all people or property or communities? But we're being policed, and I know it, you know, from my perspective and where I am. African-Americans are being policed where white people and others are protected and served. What do you think?
Well, they're basically protecting the 1%. That's what they're doing, law enforcement. And black and poor and immigrants, they're like, they've been demonized. And then, you know, on the issue of these symbols and these customs, I mean, this is the way it is. For instance, we live in a racist society. Our currency, our U.S. currency, the dollar, that is global. You know, I've been in different places around the world and going to the black market to purchase some change money, and they got more dollars than what I mean, it's just amazing. And but it's all white men. All white men, basically slave owners. And so when you start cherry picking different things, I mean, the White House, it ain't got nothing to do with paint. The Washington Monument, you can go on and on and on. Our country is about white, white is right. That's the way it operates. And, you know, my fellow brother, the NOI, the Nation of Islam has been, they've been advocating having institutions to define our own reality for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And we've learned how to fit in to get in, which I think is totally unacceptable.
Right. So let's talk about your hero then, Harriet Tubman. We know that she was slated to go on a $20 bill, and that would have broken up some of those all white men on the money.
That's right.
What happened with that?
Well, what we've done was we now have a stamp where we literally promote the stamping of Harriet Tubman right over top of Andy Jackson's face. And that's legal because we're not defacing the $20 bill, and so it is legal still, spendable tender. But that's what the movement is doing, and we advocate that. And so, if a person would like to have Harriet Tubman on a $20 bill, we do that. But the reason that was stopped, because that was stopped out of this current administration, and it was set to go. It was set in motion by the outgoing administration, which was President Obama and his Treasury Secretary, but they did it too late. They did it too late. You know, when you have a change of power, you leave a lot of things on the plate. And when that new administration comes in, they literally dismantle everything that current president did that was to promote unity. And so, so he said that they delayed it up to 2028. Well, 22. Okay. Well, most presidents only serve two terms.
Right. Okay.
In other words, it's not going to happen. It's what he's saying.
Okay.
But it is going to happen. Just be another administration.
All right. So I'm going back to the lines now. I think we got this spinning correctly. 4692, you're live. How can I help you? Thank you for calling. 4692, you there? All right. Okay, we're going to go down to 8128. You're live on the Empowerment Saturday Show. Thank you for calling. How are you? 8128, you're live on the air.
Go ahead, caller.
All right, well, they must be listening. All right, let's go to 4358. You there? Talk to me, caller. Y'all got to be ready
yes,
to jump
I'm
in.
Up, bro. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, bro. How you doing today?
How you doing? I'm doing pretty good.
Hey, we're watching this thing unfold.
The topic of the day, I'm really like more into listening about that. Than trying to talk about that. You know, I mean, it's refresh my memory of what the topic is, because I thought it had something to do with the statues being taken down and correct?
Yeah. So it's America on trial. You're tearing down things.
Right.
Looking at this system of oppression, police brutality, and white supremacy. And the young people in the country and even many places around the world saying no more.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I was talking about that last night with the group, you know, that you're affiliated with. And I told them that because they were comparing what's going on in your life with a rose. You know, the petals is beautiful and blossoming and getting sunshine, and then the stem is full of thorns. So I told him the thorn is that I don't know how this is going to play out. And the rose petal is that it seems like I'm being pulled in all directions now because they need people that can talk black now. So, you know, so I'm getting a lot of opportunity. But, you know, my position on the statues, you know, if our young people are not really educated to what those different people meant and what the Confederacy means in the first place, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what the Confederate flag meant in the first place and what it means today. And it's a lot of covering up that's done with young whites and with our people.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is I gave a lecture once over at John Marshall, and I asked them if they knew what the Confederate flag stood for, you know, what that symbol meant. And they really didn't know, you know. They knew it had something to do with the Civil War, but they didn't know mm-hmm. that symbol represented free labor, that they were fighting over free labor. And I said the free labor was you. So mm-hmm. they're actually fighting for trying to get you back into that free labor, and you're not understanding that. You think it's just a flag on the back of somebody's vehicle when, no, that's not what they mean. They actually mean that if we can get back to when America was great again, because one of the political people actually said it, said that things were, because somebody asked him, said, when was America great? When was the last time America was great? And he said, well, you know, it was great when this time period was going on, and, you know, even though we had slaves, you know, see, like, that was the key right there, you know.
Mm.
Like, America was great when we had y'all in slavery, when we was making plenty of money, and y'all mm-hmm. was working y'all for free. We could just grab and have one of y'all women anytime we wanted them, you know.
Mm.
It was great then. You know, and then we could just hang you when we get mad at you. We get drunk,
mm-hmm.
we just shoot you in the head. Nobody would say nothing, you know. So we're not really understanding that that's what that symbol meant. And that's why I think NASCAR was so willing to pull it down at this point. But look
uh-huh.
how many years they flew before they decided that it needed to be pulled down. Like, none of them understood what that Confederate flag meant. Yeah, of course they understand what it meant. That's why they were flying in the first place.
Right.
You know, they got upset when the brother won in Brown versus the Board of Education. And so they didn't really know what to do then because they said, okay, they didn't win. Now they got government troops that's forcing our kids, which I never could understand that rationale that we would send our kids into a building that we had to have people with guns to force them in there and then think that the mostly white women that were teaching them was actually going to educate them in the right way. You know, I mean, I never, to this day, I don't realize that, you know. But what they did was they did a slick maneuver. They didn't judge us based on color. They said that the reason why certain of their kids went to this other school was because of abilities. And that's when the idea of the disability and the kids that couldn't read as well as other kids and couldn't pick up as well as other kids, it really didn't have nothing to do with they couldn't learn. It was just the way that they were being taught. You know, they weren't grasping it as fast. And then a lot of the things in the school system that were being taught was catered towards the white child and their upbringing and their households. And so most of what was being taught, they already knew about. And so they would appear smarter, but it's like teaching, you know, nothing but black stuff in the school system, and then the white kids wouldn't do well, or the Oriental kids wouldn't do well, because they were doing things that were structurally for them. But they never told us that they were going to change what they were doing to teach us. So that part, you know, they didn't lie about. But, you know, I get to talking about this, and it really, you know, I know that it's necessary that we have to deprogram ourselves and our children and program them the right information that will nurture their minds and give them that creative, you know, determination again that I want to do something with my life. Oh, man, I like to do this or I like to do that, you know. And right now, our kids don't think like that. They basically, when most of them, that I mean, they either want to be a basketball player, a rapper, or a football player, you know, some sports athlete. And you rarely hear, you know, any of our children on a grand scale talking about doing something else than that. And that's a problem.
Right.
You know,
okay, brother. Let me get to some other callers, and you transition into education. Any thoughts on that before we transition to the next caller? Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Stan, you there? Okay,
yeah.
I'm going. Well, any thoughts on that? The brother kind of went through the history of the education and the symbols. What do you take away from that?
Well, he made some good points. It's just this whole country is just saturated with so much, let's say, foundational perspectives that support white supremacy. That white supremacy has taken on new forms now, and we have to be wise as a serpent to see them for what they are.
Right.
You know, Michelle Alexander talks about the new Jim Crow. There's so many ways that they come. And we have to really, really be wise. We do.
True. All right, let's shift on over to 7974. You coming in live. 7974, you there?
Hello. So I think my comments kind of went back a little bit to the monuments, and you're talking about kind of the symbolism of the flag. And I think to everything we're talking about, right, history and context is really important. But I think America in general has this sort of dual parallelism of amnesia and heritage, right? So we have where we remember the things that we want to remember, and all of it being wrapped up in what the other caller was saying was really run and driven by capitalism and economics. And so we remember the things, right, that we choose to remember, but we also have a historical amnesia, right, because power is written, or history is written by people who were in power. And so when I think about the Confederate flag, I think about the fact that, like you said, Marvin, they were traitors, and the American flag was called the hated Yankee flag by Confederate people. So, you know, in every battle, when they won, they would take down, strip the American flag, burn it, and put up the Confederate flag. But these are the same people, right? So you're talking about Confederate flags and NASCAR and doing things, who also say that people who are standing up for injustice by not standing for the flag or adhering to the American flag, when that was the sole purpose of the Confederate flag, was in direct odds with the American flag. But to your point, even erecting these symbols and still having these, which is, again, wasn't done until late 1920s and way after that time. And even the Confederate flag that's shown now is not even the original Confederate flag. This current flag was designed specifically by someone as a backlash to the civil rights, and was concocted during that time to to basically resurrect those same types of thoughts and symbolism of the Confederate flag during the Civil War. So it's really interesting to me how people don't really kind of know the history and understanding that even the flag that you're showing now, that's not the Confederate flag that they had then. And mm-hmm. the Confederate flag that this person created and designed specifically even said that this is what this was designed for. It's just resurrecting the principles and the symbolism mm-hmm. of what stood then needs to be resurrected and stood now because it was a backlash to a movement around social justice. So I think as long mm-hmm. as we continue not to know our history and continue not to see these types of things, that's where the amnesia, I think, comes in, and it's very convenient amnesia around some things. And I think what's unfortunate is that people, even in the midst of facts and even in the midst of all of those things, are so rooted in the white supremacy and so rooted, not just white people, but rooted in their own sort of insulated values that they don't want to see. It's a blind spot that they never want to remove.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sister brings out some real good points. She really does, because as she said, that flag, I mean, they I mean, for instance, most Confederates, they like to say that they're about heritage. The Ku Klux Klan, they're about hatred, and they all have their own, you know, their symbol is the burning cross, mm-hmm. but yet they say they're Christians. And even the flag of the United States of America, that flag is anchored and centered around patriotism. If you don't call yourself a patriot, then you are anti-nation. Okay, and patriotism mm-hmm. is nothing but really wrapped up in white supremacy.
Hello.
That's what it is.
Wow.
So there's just so much in this country. America is very, very complex, and if we don't undermine these little tunnels, you know, when the Vietnamese were fighting, they dug mm-hmm. tunnels. I mean, miles of tunnels underground to be able to. Mm-hmm. go sabotage the U.S. forces that was fighting against them. And we have to do the same thing mentally to undermine, because there's always issues underneath why they do what they do. Because for many cases, it's still business as usual.
Right, true. Wow, this is some great food for thought. I think if you really listen to this program and what has come out so far, it really gives you a good picture, a good frame of what we've been dealing with and what we continue to deal with. I'm going back to the callers. Everybody is still on the line. We're coming back to you, but we're going to continue to go down the line. Caller 0946, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, good afternoon. I think my comment about the statues and the Confederate flag is that the symbols matter. Those symbols are like reminders of our captivity. And one of the things that I think is different about this movement with this particular group of people, kids, young people this time, is that they've gone to school together. They have made friends with one another. They're not as homophobic. They're not misogynistic, mm-hmm. as misogynistic. That the sexism, they're willing to talk about it. They're willing to deal with it. And so they are willing to line up with one another and say, listen, I'm not trying to change you. You don't try to change me, but we have a common goal here. And I think that this set of kids listen to their black friend. I think someone on the call was saying that I don't think that they really know the history of the Confederate flag, but, you know, black kids are saying, like, this is disrespectful. And they're like, it is? Yeah, well, let's take it down. And so these kids were willing to tear down the symbolism, which is probably more powerful than a gun. at this point, because those symbols keep people in place. They challenge us psychologically. You know, it's kind of like once you've trained a dog not to leave the fence, then you can leave the door open and they won't go outside the fence. And these
right.
kids, like, ran past all that psychological programming that someone on this call was talking about. They were like, you know what? We're moving past it. We're going past it. We're not going to let these symbols stand in our way. And I think these kids are willing to bring down the attitude to the table that if you guys are pushing us back in a corner, we are willing to come out of that corner. And so I think that that's the difference in the approach. And they knew what to attack, you know, because, I mean, they're not, like, going out here with guns trying to fight an army. They know they can't win that. But they understood the power of these symbols. And so I'm just really proud of the kids. I think we're seeing our new leaders arise, you know, and that's an exciting thing that they're bringing a different approach in some ways. We've seen a lot of this before, but they are bringing some new things to the table. And the difference in the riding, I think, back in the 60s with Rodney King was that it was just about one guy. I think the Black Lives Matter propelled an ideology and a philosophy that people were able to get around and center around that was about justice for everybody. And so I think it's just been a really, really excited thing, and I'm really proud of the young people right now.
Wow. Thank you. You said something that stuck to me. And Stan, what do you think? She said, reminders of our captivity. Reminders of our captivity. What do you feel when you hear that? These images, statues, what comes to mind for you? Dan?
Well, my brother, I mean, the city right there where you live at. I mean, you know, I always make an effort to go and visit the White House of the Confederacy. Because it's still in operation. It exists because it is a standard and which had supreme, really universal power. And that White House of the Confederacy will always be there. You don't hear nobody talking about shut that down.
True. That's true. So, again, I talked earlier in the show about customs, culture, and law. And white supremacy is pervasive in the customs that we have, in the culture that we have, and the law that seems to stand above us all. I'll go back to the line. This is the People's Show, 8128. You on live. Talk to us, caller. 8128. Are you talking today or are you just listening?
Yes.
All right. You there? All
yes.
right. Talk to me.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show. Doing well.
Okay. I'm doing great. Listen, I am so happy to finally connect with you. This is a really, I agree with some of your past callers about this is an historic period that we're in concerning the unity that young people have formed. I'm actually right down the street from the protest that's going on, the 5,000-man march. But even more important, for the last 3 weeks, I've been involved with this whole movement. And I don't call it a protest. I call it a movement because this is people becoming aware and awoke about with those, not only the symbolism, but the structure that this country has been enforcing for the last 400 years. Every time we make a stride, they try to undermine it, not only just because they're in power, but because they want to maintain there's people, and as one of your callers said, these young people are not having. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. So my involvement here in Richmond with RTAP, with Richmond for All, you know, with Southerners on the Ground, and with New Virginia Majority, with the prison or formerly incarcerated movement, all of those things are people who have done the research.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they wanted research. We did it. We have it. It's in book. You can Google it, okay, and understand really that this is something that I like even the symbolism of, you know, white people now saying that silence is violence. Okay,
mm.
You have to be a part of it. Okay, you have to understand that in order for us to move forward, the narrative has to change. All right, it has to change, and it needs to change politically and socially. Okay, and I think both of those things are happening now. From my involvement in it, RTAP for one has done the research for the last 3 years to show how policing is so so totally against us that defunding the police is something that has caught fire across the country and that we here in Richmond are definitely promoting, okay? And we, because there's like a $400 million budget for the police doing things that they should never do. And one of the things that we pointed out is that the best managed communities are the ones where the police aren't involved.
Mm-hmm.
Where the police are not the part of trying to enforce on the people. Because, I mean, and I'll give you a couple of statistics. 95% of black youth are stopped for curfew violations here in Richmond. That 75% of our motorists, black motorists, are stopped by the police. Okay, now we're 49% of the population, but we are 75% of the people stopped. Okay, all right, we are 65% of those who are stopped in our cars. Okay, so, and we're 49% and white people are 45%, but they're only stopped by 23% of the time. So those are research information from their own records, from their own information. And they've been stonewalling us on getting any more current information. That information was from 2 years ago.
Wow.
So I'm saying that we need to get people involved in realizing that this has to change. Okay. And I was actually on a webinar, three of our state senators, and all three of them agree and have committed to changing this narrative, defunding the police, looking at funding more, putting more of that money into the police, and most important, a totally civilian-run review board with subpoena power and with prosecutive recommendation ability, okay, that they are supposed, the people are the ones who are supposed to be controlling this narrative, not the other way around. Okay. We'd like to get all our callers, your callers, and all our residents should be involved in this process. And we have the information. We have the research. We have the verification. There is nothing that should be stopping us from changing this narrative at this point.
Wow.
I mean, it's all clear, right? Here and across the country, we're just seeing what they've been doing now, okay? You know, white people are now just witnessing it, okay, directly. And if that was, apparently that was what was needed to galvanize them, because now they are willing not only to listen, but to become involved.
Wow.
Right? So, yeah, you know, and you see, but it goes deeper as well, because the gentrification is about destroying the black community. When we were as a community together, we had doctors, lawyers, we had entrepreneurs, okay, we had skilled craftsmen, we had everyone in our community, and we looked out for each other, okay? okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't about the police coming in and settlement. It's mostly we had our own arbitrators. We had our own counsel. We had people who were helping each other. We are a communal group. We, as black people, have always helped each other and have been about family and about the village.
Mm.
Okay? And that's what I believe we need to get back to. And one of the first things we need to do is to start to dismantle this gentrification process that's going on. And if you need proof of that, look at the highways they put through our community. Look at Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know.
Mm.
And then here in Richmond, they've destroyed so many different communities, right, of ours. We need to stop all of it, okay?
Wow.
To shut it all down. We need to be aware that it must come. We must come at it from all sides.
Mm-hmm.
All sides.
True. Thank you. Hold tight, caller. Stay in.
Stay in.
Pour it out there.
Yes. Well, my brother, there again, you know, the callers are profound in their statements because, you know, we as black people, period, we understand the realities that this exists. We've learned to tolerate it. That's, and we can't, I've been fighting against this here spirit all my life. And it takes on so many different forms, and especially in the corporate setting. And until we rise up, and I think the foot has finally come down, and the young people are doing it, enough is enough. They're just tired of it. They see the lies that their parents have told. And they themselves are making decisions that's going to truly can make this country a just country, because these policies and procedures is where they get us. They get us all the time.
Right, right. And I think it's understanding, and I think we need more training and more development in terms of understanding the law, understanding the political system, and how to be effective in our community. And I think you've done a great job in the city that you live in of organizing and being able to galvanize the people together to get that done. Change is happening.
Yeah, we have. We have.
Line, 4692, coming back to you. Are you there? You're live. 4692, the line is open. Four, six, nine, two, you there. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you're so right. I mean, you know, 50 cities, 50 states, all of them had rioting and upheaval. And, you know, that's a bold statement. I mean, even in Alaska, they were marching, and people are realizing that it cannot be business as usual. Here in our city, I mean, we had rallies in the thousands. You were at one of them. You led one of them, and but we all of them were peaceful. I mean, it wasn't that people weren't angry, but we channeled our anger into do something constructive instead of destructive to make a difference. We the people, we came back together this past Friday and formed what was called the People's Equality Commission of the Shenandoah Valley. And we're going to challenge and hold our governmental officials accountable. We're going to do that. And these are young people. So I see a new day.
It's coming. Change is here. And I think, again, we have to have all generations because, you know, like I saw in Harrisonburg, we mature adult leadership, but those young people are really feisty. And I think it's time. It's not just a black movement, right? Talk about black lives matter, but they are all people out there fighting for change, and I just love it. I love it so much. So let me ask you this, Dan. You've been leading the charge for many years. And, you know, at this point, you've marched, got out there in the street, and did your thing as well. What do you think is the pillar for change. You know, one of the guys talked about education and history of that, and, you know, then another about gentrification. So they're all systems here, right? So we're looking at dismantling the system. How do you think we go about doing that?
Well, I've come to the place I literally have to pass the torch in the area of tested leadership development. I mean, you know, the way they learn is by doing. And they're getting out there, they're assuming leadership roles, they're challenging the civic officials. We literally had the Commonwealth Attorney, the Chief of Police, and they asked him questions. I mean, they asked him questions to the extent it got uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. And so we have to empower them, which is the name of the show, empowerment. We have to literally empower our young people to go to the next level, and they're willing to do it if we give them the opportunity.
That's true. But it starts with each of us looking at ourselves and how we can educate the next person. I had an awesome opportunity to talk to an older gentleman. He was at least in his 80s. And, you know, he talked about the flag. And that was part of stimulating this conversation is that he didn't see why there was a need to tear down the statues and remove the flag. But once, like on this show that you've heard, if you've been listening, the education piece came and he said, you're so right. But again, it comes back to the education piece and being able to get understanding, you know, if you can. And so, you know, lots of work needs to be done to get that change. So I'm trying to get back to and that's one of the key concepts, right? So there's five key concepts: politics, the understanding of politics, the understanding of economics, athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition, and there's culture, and then there's education. And we have to understand how important education in all of these systems are to empowering the Black community to be able to advocate for itself and to be able to support itself and to be positive and productive in all the things that we do. Caller 4692, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on live.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Go ahead.
So, I mean, I guess I was going back to thinking about the Enlightenment that is becoming a part of, let's say, our Anglo-Saxon brothers and sisters as they stand in the streets and they march too, because this is about all people. We all belong to God. But when I started before, I said, shame on us, because, you know, everything that we have needed to get to this point and beyond, I do believe was implanted in us from the beginning. And my beginning starts with my awakening, where it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe that the poison of hatred, the poison of white supremacy, and let's just call it what it is, it's this whiteness, that space, that privilege that so many of us grew up observing and others grew up walking in it. I think that the veil is being lifted because the truth is permeating. You can tell people that you are, quote unquote, better than, or you can teach them that you have a certain privilege and expectation about what life has to offer you and what your future shall look like. But I think that through relationship and through the Enlightenment through Jesus Christ, whether people knew him or not, I believe that that spirit is beginning to lift the veil off of some of these people, and they are beginning to see that the way that they grew up and maybe even the way that grandpa thought about these people, that that's not true. And I just have to believe that the truth through the word is doing the work. It says train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. And so when I think about us as a race of people who have been subjugated and held back and oppressed, I think that when Master was forced to take the chains off us, we did not unchain our minds. And yes, right, there are some imprints that are on us, but we have some work to do. And just like the girls and folks said, free your mind and the rest will follow. I think that there's a freeness that I know I see with my young adults in my household that even I used to place limits on them, and I had to turn a loose because I realized that there was a spirit that was working in them that was bigger than the constraints that I even grew up with in my generation.
Yes.
So that's just my piece today, brothers and sisters. I really do think that there is a difference that is being made, but I can't stop at, you know, just the timing or Mr. Floyd's death. I have to give all credit where credit is due, and that is in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And that's profound because if that pandemic had never hit, I mean, that was beyond us. It was global. And to the extent that we had to quarantine ourselves, and people got an opportunity to witness what happened to George Floyd, and they were suffering from cabin fever anyway. And in the midst of seeing that and coming out of that, the something worse than the pandemic, which is the scourge and the sin of racism, the disease of it, people said, "Hey, we got to take a stand against this." And I think there is a sister hit it on the head.
Yeah, man.
It's big. I mean, I've seen people in Tokyo protesting.
Yeah. Australia. Man, we watched a human being lose their, you know. It's really powerful. We got 8 minutes, so I'm going to be creative today. And if I may, I'm opening the lines up for a wide open dialogue. Everybody's on, right? Let's not talk over top of each other, but I'm doing a round robin. So be lean of expression, but if you have some thoughts about what's been shared, state your point and opinion and then pass it on to somebody else. The lines are open. Talk to me, caller.
Yeah, this is Carlton Webb. It's from RTAP again, back on. I want to, you know, praise and you know, give acknowledgement to all the speakers who are talking about various aspects of the same problem that we're all unified on. Okay, I think that we have to bring the agenda to those who are supposed to be serving us. Okay, that flag being done, that the monument being brought down.
How you doing, man? Vote for Donald McKeith. June 23rd. McKeith, June 23rd. There you go. Hey. I'm a McKeith on June
23rd. Is this in the city? I'm looking for
Iraq. Are you saying vote for her?
You there?
Hello?
Michael, what?
Oh, you said
the. The line is open. You're live on the radio. I got the weird call line wide open. What you got?
I'll continue to say that we have to hold our elected officials accountable. And if they're not being accountable, if they're not serving us as a people, we need to get rid of them. Period. Okay? There's 233 people being held for being a part of this protest. Most of them are being held on some curfew violations and other things that the police are concocting, you know, as reasons for keeping these people in jail. College of Teaching should release every one of them, and then if she don't, then we need to hold her accountable for that. The mayor has not stepped up. It's been 2.5 years. We've been talking about making changes like the Marcus Alert, you know, where mental health professionals take control as opposed to the police. And the police, having shot this man who was having that crisis, is unconscionable. It should have been a prosecutable kind of offense. It's been over 2 years. Nothing has happened, which shows the state of affairs. I've been in the mayor's face at his conference. And so have several other people who have been involved in the situation for years. Please contact the different organizations that have been on the ground and get involved, because they have an agenda.
In your community, wherever you are, and make a difference. All right, the line is open. Who's next? You have a comment.
I think that just kind of piggybacking off what everyone is saying about the young people today, and I'm reminded of that quote by Audre Lorde that said, "You cannot dismantle the master's house with his tools." And part of those tools that have been in our face are those symbols that remind us, you say you're free, And I think these young people, they're not double-minded. They're not split on the issue. Like, we can't hear nothing that you're saying. You still got flags flying. Okay, but we have that conversation. We don't tear all this, take the flags down, take the Confederate statues down. We're not hearing. They're focused. They're not double-minded. They're not saying that I'm with you, then do something else. And so I'm just, like I said, once again, I'm excited for the young people, and I do agree that they need our support as older people in the community, support and encouragement and direction for those that are open to it. But they've got the zeal, and they're in positions that kind of a lot of them don't have a lot to lose at this point. They haven't started their families. They're not on jobs where they're kind of tied into, well, if I say this, I'm going to lose my job. These kids are kids that are going back to get their master's because they can't even get a job with a bachelor's degree, and they're still tanking up student loans. And they're furious about that. They understand that this American dream for a lot of people is truly just a dream, and it's not a reality. So, once again, I'm very proud of the young people.
All right. Thank you. The line is open. Talk to me, caller.
I just like to say, Marvin, that I think we as a society have been indoctrinated in the isms and the schisms of racism. We have to fight the good fight of faith to keep ourselves from this contamination. It's real. Structural racism, institutional racism is a constant challenge. And until we develop more institutions that help us to define our own reality, we're always trying to fit in, to get in.
Wow, that's so true. We got 2 minutes left in the show. 2 minutes left. Round Robin.
What's up, Ron?
Hey. Talk to me.
Hey. I'm out here now and passing out flyers for Congressman and the teachers. I'm pretty sure you can't really hear much of what I'm saying because people talking in the background. But it's a really good event. It's a really good event. If you had a chance to come out here, just to feel the energy, I think it's important. I'm pretty sure most of the people on the call have, but just sometimes I think it's important just to get out and feel the energy, man. You feel the pain, you feel the power, you feel the movement, you feel the momentum, you know? And it's an educational experience, you know? And it helps you, So it's pretty good to be out here right now. You said what?
You're live at a protest.
Yeah, I'm live. I'm live down here right now in Richmond.
All right. So we got a live call. What are the people saying?
Man, Black Lives Matter, man. Pushing the policy agenda, holding police accountable, policing up your battle buddy. You know, and what I mean by that is generally talking to folks of other races to police up their battle buddies. If they see somebody doing something wrong in the boardroom, the classroom, then if our lives matter, say something to make a stand before it gets to a point of where there's a gun and then there's a body. So that's kind of the gist of what's been going on.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Man, keep doing the good work that you're doing, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you all callers. This is a great show. Pass this on to your friends and family members. It's 365 days. Talk to you soon. Peace.